ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नारायणं नमस्कृत्याहम्।
नारायणं नमस्कृत्यम्।
नरं चैव नरोत्तमम्।
नरं चैव नरोत्तमम्।
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम्।
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम्।
ततो जयामुदीरयेत्।
ततो जयामुदीरयेत्।
नास्तिप्रायेषु भद्रेषु।
नास्तिप्रायेषु भद्रेषु।
नित्यं भागवत सेवया।
नित्यं भागवत सेवया।
भागवती उत्तमा श्लोके।
भागवती उत्तमा श्लोके।
भक्तिर्भावती नैष्टिकी।
भक्तिर्भावती नैष्टिकी।
कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय।
कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय।
देवकी नंदनाय च।
देवकी नंदनाय च।
नंदगोपकुमाराय।
नंदगोपकुमाराय।
गोविंदाय नमो नमः।
गोविंदाय नमो नमः।
हरे कृष्णा। हरे कृष्ण माताजी। जन्माष्टमी महामहोत्सव की जय। हरे कृष्णा। सो टुडे वी आर सेलिब्रेटिंग श्री कृष्ण जन्माष्टमी। देयर वाज अ टाइम व्हेन ऑल द डीमंस ऑफ द वर्ल्ड एंड आल्सो द होल यूनिवर्स, द बिगेस्ट डीमंस, द राक्षसस, the daityas, the big demons, powerful demons, they make the human demons look like nothing, like cockroaches. Big powerful demons, they had a plan, a conspiracy. They said, let us take birth on the earth planet and we'll take over the earth planet, and after we take birth and take over the earth planet, we'll take over the whole universe. So this was their plan. So they began taking birth on the earth planet. Big powerful demons like Kamsa, Chanara, Mustika, Keshi, and Aristasura, and so many.
Shishupal,
Dantavakra. Big powerful demons. So the earth planet was feeling overburdened by so many liars and cheaters and impious people, especially in the guise of leaders. We see today our leaders on our planet, they're practically raping their mother, the Earth planet, taking so many petroleum products and cutting down rainforests and doing so many horrible things to the Earth planet. But what is going on today is nothing compared to that time. They were so rambunctious, these demons. So the Earth planet was feeling greatly overburdened by the presence of these demons. So she took the form of a cow. Mother Bhumi took the form of a Kamadenu cow and went to the demigods and appealed for help from the demigods. The demigods went with her and appealed to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma said, let us go and appeal to Lord Vishnu. So they went to the ocean of milk, the Kshir Sagar, and Lord Brahma sat in meditation praying to Lord Vishnu for help. And Lord Vishnu responded from the island of Swetadweep in the milk ocean, and he gave a message to Lord Brahma within his heart. Lord Brahma went back to the demigods and Mother Bhumi and said, I have received this message. The message is as follows, that the Supreme Lord is aware of all the difficulties, trials, troubles, tribulations that you all are experiencing. And the Supreme Lord is preparing to descend Himself to this world in order to wipe out these demons. In the meantime, you all should participate in this Leela and take birth within the Yadu dynasty. And together, we will wipe out these demons. So, the Lord is preparing to fulfill His mission as mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Yadā yadā hi dharmasya glanir bharati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam shujam yaham paritranaya sarunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharmasam stapanataya sambhavami yuge yuge. Lord says, yudai yudahi dharmasya glanir bharti bharta. Whenever there's a decline in religious principles and a corresponding rise in irreligion, at that time I descend myself. So there are all these demons coming, this rise of irreligion, so the Lord is preparing to descend. Paritranaya sarunam, to give pleasure and happiness to the devotees. Vinashaya chaduskritam, to kill the demons. And dharma samstapanataya, to establish religious principles. For these three reasons, the Lord descends. So the Lord is preparing to descend. So there was, in Mathura, there was a great marriage that was taking place. There was Devaki, the daughter of Devaka, and there was Vasudev. Vasudev is the son of Ugrasena. So Ugrasena's son, Vasudev, and Devaka's daughter, Devaki, they're prepared to get married. Now, Devaki had a brother, and his name was Kamsa. And Kamsa was very rude and wicked and cruel, but he had some affection for his sister because of their bodily family relationship. So out of love for her, he offered to be the chariot driver, to drive her to her new house. We all know that marriage day is very difficult as it is. What to speak of any other extenuating circumstances. So in order to make life easier for his sister, Kamsa was going to encourage her and he was driving the chariot. So Devaka, he set great dowry along with Devaki. Thousands of horses, 2,000 horses, hundreds of elephants, all decorated with gold and jewels and pearls and emeralds, rubies, sapphires. He sent so many, 200 beautiful young maidservants, and there was so much treasury and so much gold and valuable household paraphernalia was sent with her. So a big entourage. Kamsa's driving the chariot, Devaki and Vasudeva on the chariot, and all of these 200 girls and so many hundreds of elephants and 2,000 horses, and everything is moving together. And all of a sudden, a voice comes from the sky, Akashvani.
Kamsa, you fool, don't you know that the eighth child of Devaki will kill you?
And Kamsa became very alarmed by hearing this sound, and he grabbed Devaki by her hair and took out his sword, his talwar, and was about to cut off her head. Vasudev was very intelligent and had to think very fast because he didn't want to lose his new wife. He wanted to protect her. So he protested, Kamsa, please don't kill her. We know that the body is temporary, but the soul is eternal. And after this life, there's another life. And there are the laws of karma. If you do some horrible, cruel activity now to her, what will happen to you in your next life? Aren't you afraid of that? But Kamsa was not afraid of that. He was going to cut off her head. So then Vasudev chose a second technique. And he said, oh Kamsa, don't you see? You have nothing to fear from Devaki. It is the eighth son that you have to fear. And I personally promise, I give my word that I will deliver each and every child to you. Please spare her. You are a great king. You do not want to lose your honor and reputation by killing a woman, especially your sister, and on her marriage day. She's your sister. You should be affectionate to her. You should show compassion to her. You should express your love for her, not kill her. So Kamsa was convinced by this argument because he knew Vasudev was a man of his word. So they continued on to the new palace of Vasudev and Devaki. And after some time, Devaki became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And the son's name was Kirtiman. So Vasudev, true to his word, he brought little Kirtiman to Kamsa. And Kamsa said, actually, I do not have anything to fear from this child. This is your first child. I have only to fear from your eighth child. So please you take this child back home and be happy. So Vasudeva was very happy. He was in ecstasy. He brought the child back home. But he was thinking, I cannot trust this Kamsa, because one whose senses are uncontrolled cannot be trusted. So then, Narada Muni, he came on the scene, and he came to the court of King Kamsa. King Kamsa heard that Narada Muni had come, so he went out to welcome him with great puja, and he practically worshipped Narada Muni, because he knew that Narada Muni was a very special personality. And Narada Muni, if he gives blessings, then one can attain wonderful things. And Narada Muni is also Trikalagya. He knows the past, the present, and the future. So Narada Muni might be able to give him some very important information that would help him. So Kamsa treated Narada Muni with all respect. And Narada Muni, he said, Kamsa, you see, I was recently traveling on the bank of the Kshir Sagar. And do you know what I saw there? I saw a group of demigods had gathered, and they were all planning to take birth in the Yadu dynasty for the purpose of killing you, Kamsa. And Kamsa was thinking, this is not very good. And then Narada Muni left that place. Now one may wonder why Narada Muni, who's a great devotee, instigate Kamsa like this. Because he wants to speed up Krishna's pastimes in order to be a catalyst, in order to provide Krishna with a platform to perform his divine leela. So Kamsa, he got very afraid, and he was thinking, any of these Yadus, they might be the death of me. And he told his ministers to imprison Vasudev and Devaki, and he took the young boy, Kirtiman, and like all the other children, he grabbed him by the legs with his powerful arms. He was as strong as 10,000 elephants. And there was a big rock slab, and by taking the child by the legs, he repeatedly smashed the child into the hard rock until the child was dead. He pulverized him. Such a cruel and heartless person was Kamsa. But still, without Kamsa, we would not have this wonderful leela of Krishna's appearance. Kamsa ki jai. Even Prabhupada one time said, Kamsa ki jai.
He's a devotee.
Yeah, because he facilitates Krishna's leela, even though in such a dirty way. So, Devaki kept having more children. And every time Kamsa would take the child in his meaty hands with his powerful arms and smash him into the rock and kill him. We should mention who are the first children. These six children, the first six children killed by Kamsa, come in the womb. They were previously the children of Marichi, the great sage Marichi, the great Rishi. Now, Marichi and the other sages and these six boys, his six children, they were together. And at that time, Lord Brahma misbehaved with his daughter. He got attracted to his daughter and he wanted to enjoy with her. And the others, and Marichi and the other sages said, Lord Brahma, this is not correct. You should not do like this. And these six boys, they laughed. They laughed at Lord Brahma. And because of this offense of laughing at Lord Brahma, they committed a Vaishnav aparad. And because of Vaishnav aparad, by offending a devotee, Lord Brahma is a great devotee, even though he was doing the wrong thing, but still they laughed at him, they insulted him. So we can lose the merits of all of our bhakti, all of our previous bhakti merits from previous lives by offending devotees. So we should be very, very careful. It's called the mad elephant offense. If we offend a devotee, like if an elephant goes into a garden, a mad elephant, he can tear up the whole garden, the garden is destroyed. Similarly, if we offend Vaishnavas, our whole bhakti creeper can be destroyed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refers to this story in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. So it's a very important story. We should understand the weightiness of not offending Vaishnavas. So these boys, they offended Lord Brahma just by laughing. And as a result, they were cursed and they took birth as Kamsa's grandchildren. Not Kamsa, they took birth as Hiranyakashipu's grandchildren. Hiranyakashipu's son was Kalanemi. And they took birth as Kalanemi's children. So, they took birth in the dynasty of demons. And as they were growing up, they decided, let us go to Lord Brahma and ask for benedictions. So they began performing tapasya. They went underneath the water for many years. They did not eat anything. They did not sleep. They did not drink. They were doing tapasya. And then Lord Brahma appeared to them. And Lord Brahma said, what benediction can I give you? You have pleased me. And they said, we want to not be killed by anyone, not by any demon, not by any demigod, not by any human, not by any animal, not by any Kinnara, not by any Gandharva. No one should be able to kill us. So Lord Brahma said, I am pleased with you, tatastu. And he gave them the benediction. And they were very, very happy. And then they were happy until their grandfather, Hiranyakashipu, found out about it. He said, you boys went to Lord Brahma to ask for a benediction without asking me permission? Why you did not come to me? I am all powerful. I can give you benedictions. Why you went to him? I disown you. No more affection. You are now my enemies. And I curse you. I curse you that you will be killed by your father. Your own father. And in Kalanemi's next birth, he took birth as Kamsa. And Kamsa and these boys took birth in Devaki's womb. So they were killed by their father, Kamsa, who was Kalanemi in the previous life. So these boys did not do so well. You know? They got cursed in one lifetime because they did the Vaishnava Aparat of Rama. And then they got cursed in the next lifetime also because they did not give proper respect to their grandfather, Hiranyakashipu. So these are the six Maruts, the six Sadgandharvas. They were in the womb of Devaki. Now our Acharyas explain that these six boys, they represent six Anarthas. Anarthas are unwanted things in the heart. Lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, and madness. And only by destroying these six Anarthas in our heart, then Krishna can come and be established in our heart. So how to vanquish these six Anarthas? So Kamsa, who is killing these six embryos, these six young children, babies, he represents the fear of Maya. The fear of the illusory energy of the Lord. Deviesha gunamayi mama maya dharatya mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. Krishna explains in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text number 14, that this illusory energy of mind is very, very difficult to overcome. But one who surrenders unto me, he can overcome this illusory energy. So Srila Prabhupada, he said, my only complaint with my disciples is they are not enough afraid of Maya. They're not enough afraid of the material energy of the Lord. If we're not afraid of Maya, we'll become complacent in our spiritual activities, in our spiritual practices. Because we think, I'm fine, everything is all right. Why I should make an endeavor for spiritual life? I'm going smoothly. Everything is cool. Tanda tanda, cool cool. Why I should make a big endeavor? But death can strike us at any moment. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavan, chanchante ante kalevaram, tam tam eva tikonteya, sadhatad bhava bhavataha. Krishna explains in the 8th chapter, text number 6 of Bhagavad Gita, that whatever we remember at the time of death, we'll attain that without fail. Just today, about 3 hours ago, one of my best friends, His Grace Sankirtan Prabhu, a brahmachari just about to take sannyas, approved for sannyas, he left his body. Just 3 hours ago, I just got a call from Lokanath Swami informing me.
Where was he?
He was in Switzerland, and he had cancer. Kamsa is like cancer. So he was informed just a year ago that he had cancer. And then over the course of 1 year, the cancer became so intense that he left his body. So in this way, padam padam yevi padam natesham, there's danger at every step in this world. We never know what is going to happen to us at any time. There is uncertainty. Krishna says in Gita, man mana bhava mad bhakto mad jaji mam namaskuru mam eva shasi satyam te prati jane priyosi me. He says, man mana, always think of me. Mad bhakto, become my devotee. Mad jaji, worship me. Mam namaskuru, offer your obeisances unto me. Then surely you will come to me. Prati jane priyosi me. I'm telling you this because you are my very dear friend. So we should always try to keep Krishna in our thoughts, because we never know when the time comes that we have to leave. So we should be very serious about bhakti, about sadhu sangha coming together, about hearing the topics of Lord Krishna. Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha chatvadeham punar janma naiti mam eti sojuna. Krishna explains in the fourth chapter, text number 9 of Bhagavad Gita, whoever understands the transcendental nature, divyam, of my mera janma and karma, my birth and activities, does not take birth again in this material world, but instead attains my eternal abode. So we should be very serious about sadhu sangha, serious about offering our food, prasadam, taking prasadam. We should be very serious about hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and we should be very serious about chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Because death can come at any time for any one of us. And our next destination should be very positive at Krishna's lotus feet. So is Kamsa represents the fear of the illusory energy. We should be afraid. What if I'm not remembering Krishna at the time of death? What will happen to me? Will I have to go through this samsara chakra again? Will I have to experience birth, death, disease, old age again? Will I have to experience ariyatmik klesh, aribhautik klesh, aridaivik klesh again? Am I going to have to go through this again and again and again, seeing my loved ones come and go? Living, dying, born and death. So much pain in the material world. So we should be very serious. So being afraid of the material energy will help us become serious in bhakti. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, text number 8, Amanidvam adamdidvam ahimsak shantir arjavam acharyo pashanam shocham staryamatma vinigraha indriyateshu vairagyam anahankar evacha janmam ritchu jara vyadi Dukha doshanu darshanam. He says, janma, mritu, jara, vyadi. Birth, death, disease, and old age. Dukha doshanu darshanam. Darshanam means to see. Like we have darshan of the Lord. Duk means misery. Dukha doshanu darshanam. We should see the misery of birth, death, disease, and old age. Krishna says, this is knowledge. And whatever is not this is ignorance. So we should be very afraid of ignorance and embrace the knowledge. And this will help us. And having that dukkha doshanu darshanam, having this fear of the maya, of that which is not, that will help us to embrace spiritual life. So this is the meaning of kamsa. Kamsa means, it represents the fear of maya. And by having that fear of maya, we can conquer those six sadgarbhas: lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, madness, and illusion. So, Kamsa killed these six children. Then Krishna called Yogamaya and told her, please arrange that Lord Balaram, Sankarshan, be present in the womb of Devaki. And then there was another wife of Vasudev that had taken shelter in Sri Vrindavan Dham, in Gokul Mahavan. And her name was?
Rohini.
So Rohini was pregnant. And then Krishna told Yogamaya to arrange all these things. And Rohini had a dream. And in her dream she had a miscarriage. And she woke up and it seemed that she had a miscarriage. And then Yogamaya transferred Balaram from the womb of Devaki into the womb of Rohini. And then Rohini became resplendent and effulgent, and the whole Gokul of Mahavan was effulgent with, and she was so blissful because she had Baladev in her womb. And then there was room for Krishna in the room, the eighth child. So Krishna descended into the mind of Vasudev, and from the mind of Vasudev into the heart of Vasudev, and then from the heart of Vasudev transferred into the heart of Devaki, and from the heart of Devaki transferred into the womb of Devaki. So Vasudev and Devaki are chained up in the prison cell in Mathura of Kamsa. And Devaki is so effulgent. And Kamsa could see that she was so effulgent, he could understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead must be taking shelter in her womb. But he did not try the abortion. I mean, today some of the demons are so horrible. There's so many abortions going on. But even someone as horrible as Kamsa would not do that. He's waiting for the child to come out. So the demigods could see Devaki was so effulgent, and they came down and they were offering prayers to Krishna within the womb. And Devaki could see like shadows and understand things were going on. And it was very, very amazing. Finally, at midnight, all the constellations aligned. The constellation of Rohini manifested. And by Yogamaya's arrangement, all the guards were asleep. And at that time, Lord Krishna manifested. Haribo! Lord Krishna manifested in a four-armed form. He had beautiful, dark, curling hair. He was wearing yellow dhoti. He had Kustuba mani. He had Srivats on his chest. He had lotus eyes. He was smiling slightly. He had ornaments all over his body. He was carrying Shankha, Pada, Gadma, and Chakra. He looked so gorgeous and beautiful. Now, who is born like that? And is anyone else born like that? We're born, you know, a small little thing covered with blood, crying. They cut umbilical cord, blood is all over the place, and they have to just clean up the child, you know. But Krishna is born with all these jewels and emeralds and ornaments and clothes and smiling and four hands. So Vasudev and Devaki begin offering prayers to Lord Krishna, and then Devaki says, Kamsa will come and kill you. Please take the form of a small child. Please take a small child's form. So Krishna took the form of a small baby child. And by Yogamaya's arrangement, the shackles chaining up Vasudev, they were released. And Vasudev picked up the child. And the door of the prison cell opened. And Vasudev picked up the child and walked out. And he was walking and walking and walking towards Gokul Mahavan. And then he came to Jamuna River. Jamuna Maiki. Yeah. And it was raining, slightly raining. So Anantashesh, he came over the head of Vasudev and created like an umbrella, a chhatri, to shelter Krishna from the rain. So Jamuna was swirling around, and it was rainy season, so Jamuna was very much filled with water and a strong current. But then Jamuna parted and gave a path so Vasudev could easily cross. So Vasudev is crossing Jamuna with baby Krishna, And as he's walking, he's thinking, you know, Kamsa may come and try to chase Krishna and try to kill Krishna, so I should hurry up. So he would start moving really fast. And then he was thinking, but when I go to Gokul and I leave the child there, then I will be bereft of this child's association. So he would slow down, so he would have more time with Krishna. Then he would think, but Kamsa may be coming behind to kill Krishna. So then he would go really fast. And then he said, but then if I get there sooner, then I will lose the child's association. So he would slow down. So in this way, Vasudeva was going in these different gears, slow, fast, slow, fast, slow, fast. So finally, he reached Gokul Mahavan, and there Mother Yashoda had just given birth to a baby girl. But she was so tired that she didn't realize whether it was a girl or a boy. So Vasudeva picked up the girl child and put Krishna in the arms of Mother Yashoda, and then returned with the girl child back to Mathura. And Mother Yashoda was so tired that she did not remember if it was a boy child or a girl child that she had given birth to. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai. Shri Krishna Janmastami Maha Mahotsava ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So I'm very grateful to all of you for your kind tolerance and patience in hearing this Leela of Lord Krishna's appearance this afternoon on this occasion of Shri Krishna Janmastami. I'm grateful for the opportunity, for my own purification, to have an opportunity to speak something.
We are also very, very grateful. Took all the trouble to come here and give us such a material narrative of Lord Krishna's birth. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I beg to take your leave because I have some service. Okay. My Guru Maharaj had called me.
Okay.
And I have to go and do some seva before this evening.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
I just have one question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, yeah. The material world, and because we have so many past karmas to the results of those past karmas to suffer or enjoy through. So even at the time of death, if we do think of Krishna, does that eradicate all our past karmas?
Yes, it does. We can think of Krishna at the time of death. Krishna says, I mentioned the sixth shloka of the eighth chapter. In the fifth shloka of the eighth chapter, it's kind of like a pair that go together. Krishna says, don't have any doubts about this. He says, Antakale chamameva smaran mukva kalevram yaprayati samad bhavan yati naschatra samshayaha. Antakale, at the end of this life, Antakale chamameva, you coming to me, muktva sangha kalevram, muktva kalevram. Muktva means free, kalevram means body. When you're giving up this body at the end of a life, antakale chamam eva, mukta sangha kalevram, yam yam evati konteya. I'm mixing up the two. Antakale chamam eva, smaran muktva kalevram, yaprayati samad bhavam. You get mad bhavam, you get my mood, you get my place, you come to me. Yati nasyatra samshayaha. You come there, na samshayaha. Samshayaha means doubt. He says na samshayaha. He says don't have any doubt. So Krishna is explaining to you, don't have any doubt. You come to me just by remembering me. And the best way to remember Krishna is by keeping his name on our tongue, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare. So someone may say, why I should bother with all this bhakti now? When I'm on my deathbed, I'm about to go, I'll just remember Krishna and I'll go back to him. But it's not so easy to remember Krishna at the time of death. You have so many distractions. You're on your deathbed. Family members are surrounding you. Daddy, don't go. Mommy, don't go. There's so many things that need to be done. Who will take care of us? Who will pay this bill? Who will arrange that? Who will do this? Who will do that? And then you feel, you know, that you're surrounded by all your loved ones, and I wish I just had a few more months with them so I could do this, I could do that, this needs to be done, that needs to be done, and all of a sudden you're dying, and where is the thought of Krishna? So it's not easy to think of Krishna at the time of death. Therefore, abhyasa yogena tato, therefore abhyas, we should practice. We should practice remembering Krishna, because the time of death is not easy. It's called the final exam. And whatever mark we get on the final exam, that's the mark that stays with us. And if we remember Krishna at the time of death, we get 100% marks like that. So we need to practice. We need to become accustomed to remembering Krishna. And in this Kali Yuga, which is a very difficult time with so many distractions, there's so many weapons of mass distraction in Kali Yuga. So therefore, we need to take shelter. Kaler dosha nidhe rajan yasti yato mahagunan kirtanad yeva krishnasya mukta sangam param brajet. Then in the age of Kali, it's just dosha nidhe. It's an ocean of faults. But there's one good quality in the age of Kali, and that is this chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So we have to practice. Does that answer your question? So I'm going to take your leave. Before I do, I brought something very special with me today. I have a CD that Pradyumna and I made together a couple of years ago. Anyone who wants copies of this CD can take and give some donation. Somebody wants one, I'll even sign for you. You like a signature on it?
Yes.
Yeah. Pradyumna, you want to give your signature also?
Your signature is more than enough. It's a very, very good signature.
Anyone else would like one?
I like one.
You like one also? Okay, I brought five.
This is like a child.
Good, good.
How much is the donation for it?
Suggest a donation of 100 rupees, but you can give whatever you want. It's Janmashtami, give generously.
Yeah. I would like to introduce Eklavya Prabhu. Ankita, Eklavya Prabhu is a very, very venerable Vaishnava. He's been ISKCON for, I think, more than 30 years. He is actually, in his bodily form, he's from New York City. He studied at MIT and studied at the West School, Berklee School of Music. Very distinguished, he can play 16 instruments and a very serious music and dedicated. And in few years he'll be taking sannyas. We are actually very proud and privileged to have him. Very sincere, someone who inspires by his brilliance. Austere, simple.
He stays here.
Yeah, he stays here. He roams all over the world. You see his YouTube video where he's doing kirtan in New York. Very dedicated person. Just by seeing him, you feel like devotion. Thank you, Prabhu. It's so nice that you came.
We're having a program this evening. Around 8, they're expecting around 8:45 we'll perform.
So should I tell
Yeah, I think it's good. Here, Guru Sarai Road, we're having a big Janmashtami celebration.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, 8 o'clock, the program is here.
It started already, but Pradyumna and I are supposed to perform around 8 o'clock.
Guru Sarai Road?
Yeah.
Okay.
And tomorrow is the most auspicious appearance day of Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. There'll be a program at Guru Sadai Road from 4 o'clock onwards. Devotees will be speaking the glories of Srila Prabhupada. And maybe some small cultural presentation will be there. And 7:30 tomorrow night, we're serving out a 12-course feast for more than 1,000 people,
12-course feast,
including a special coffee counter. Yeah. So don't miss this feast, huh? This will be great. You're all invited. If you like, come earlier for the program. If not, just come for the feast. Prabhupada will be happy in every circumstance.
Yes.
We're having a program here from 4:30 a.m. to 1 o'clock.
Here.
Here, tomorrow.
Yes.
4:30 a.m. to 1 o'clock.
We're starting Sansar Dhavani prayers.
I'm having a Mangalarti.
Yes.
And that's great.
She is coming and she's bringing him. She's bringing him.
Oh, great.
He's very busy, but he's still
here. Very good.
He's still here.
So thank you all for your kindness. Thank you for your kind donations. Hope you enjoy the CD. And wishing you a happy, blissful Janmashtami festival. And also happy, blissful Srila Prabhupada Appearance Day festival.
Absolutely.
Thank you very
much.
Haribol. Haribol. Srila Prabhupada.
Ekla Prabhu ki jai. Om
Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Thank you for coming.
Thanks, man. Pleasure.
I like the sandals. It reminds me of a keyboard.
don't even think about it.
I'll be there
at 8 o'clock.
You bring your
computer. I still haven't. Is Gopinath Prabhu here? No, it's not
Gopinath Prabhu. You call me only
Prabhu
because you're really essential. Yeah. You're
coming all the way. Yeah. Just coming from
Peace.
Yeah.
Thank you. Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.